Our hope is that many alcoholic men and women in our room tonight and listening later on bluechipspeakersnaba.org, desperately in need, will hear our speaker tonight, and we believe that it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that any of us shall be persuaded to say, yes, I am one of them too. I must have this thing. Before I introduce the speaker tonight, would just like to ask that if everybody, out of respect for the speaker, could please try and keep your seat while the speaker is speaking, unless you just have to get up. That would be very nice. Our speaker tonight, I've met him a couple of times and heard what he's had to say. Seems like a cool dude. This is his home group here, I think, tonight. And with that, I give you Bob C.
Everybody, I'm Bob C. and I'm an alcoholic. I know a lot of you guys in here, but I'm still freaking wigged. Yeah. So, let's get to it. My sobriety date is 8/11, 8/25/2011. And there's someone in this room here that, no, she's not here tonight. Okay, so starting out, I was born in Miami, Florida, September 25th, 1957. Good old Irish Catholic family. Wonder I became an alcoholic. And growing up, I remember my mother being around a lot more than I do my father. He traveled a lot. And when we lived in New York, I don't remember too much. I remember more coming here in 1964. 49 years ago. Yeah, I'm old. So, and I don't recall much until we did move here at an early age, about 6 years old, moving to Atlanta. This is going back to childhood a little bit. This may be a little... I can't adjust this thing right. When I was about 3 months old, I had a severe burn on my body. It burned about three-fourths of my body, but my leg mainly. And so moving to Atlanta, getting a school year age and all of that, I realized that I had a learning disability, maybe as a result of that, some nervous damage that it did. And so from that point on, I was sent to a lot of private schools. And so also as a result, my brothers and sisters started calling names and all of that, and, you know, which made me feel at an early age that I was a total outcast, not only by my family, but by the rest of society. So, and starting in the first grade is when I really started going. I went to public schools and felt that I didn't fit in there and went into private schools. And so, and at first the feelings I had of not fitting in, it didn't bother me. The earliest time I can remember drinking to cover up a feeling was probably 7-8 years old, parents' Christmas parties, sneaking a little shot here and there, and wow, this feels pretty good. And I could forget about all the bullshit of people name calling and all of that. And so that little slight buzz helped. And then jumping a little bit forward, the first time I really got totally whacked drunk was when I was 13 years old. And should have been a telltale sign then. I blacked out. Don't remember much about it. It was on Tanqueray gin. From that point on, I never once touched gin again. And that was the first taste of Alcoholics Anonymous that I had also. The friend of mine that I got drunk with, his mother was in AA. And I remember is after we sobered up, after barfing all over the house, went downstairs, and on the counter was a yellow chip, 6 months. Well, it might have been red, I don't know. So, and she, she gave us a lecture. I was going to go to New York that year to see a friend of mine that I hadn't seen in a long time. And what if I told your parents this and that and all of that? And I was like, you know, I hope that you don't. And so as time went on, I went up to New York, saw the friend of mine. And then going into high school from that point on after getting through grammar school. Now, there is drugs in my story for some of the people here that may be offended. I'm not going to go into any detail or anything like that. As I went into high school, the first thing that I was basically introduced to was weed, of course. I said many a times I never smoke weed. So I started smoking that, and then other drugs escalated, and there was more alcohol drinking on the weekends. And at that particular time, they weren't as bad at carding people as they are now. We used to go into the liquor stores and get liquor because we'd go in for our parents as well, and so they knew us. And so it wasn't that hard at all. And I let me see where I'm at here. And so, as I said, the drinking on the weekends escalated. Then when I got out of high school in 1975, a lot of you weren't born. I got on my own, and boy, I could drink and do other substances as I pleased. And so for the first few years, I'll backtrack a little bit. I was about 14, 15 years old, the first time I was in a rehab. It wasn't because of alcohol. It was because of another substance. Some of you may remember. I'm going to mention it, but that's about it. It was Quaaludes. I think I'd done one too many of them. And so they take me to the principal's office. I'd said something to a teacher or whatever. Once again, I don't remember. And my brother and my mother come up to the school to get me. And so I thought that I was somewhat coherent in the principal's office. They were talking and all of this. Let's say this is the principal's office couch here. I'm standing like this. I go to sit down. Of course, I'm fine. Totally missed the couch by about that much. Bobby, are you on drugs? So, I think so. And then I said, upon graduating in 75, I was free to party as I wanted to, and realizing at that point on, I had a huge resentment against my family for many, many years, and that went into a couple of other areas, which I'll mention as well. So after a couple of years, of course, I did those many geographical changes, and through the geographical changes and all of that, I had had a grandfather that had died. We were pretty close. And, of course, my grandmother, I was with her when she died. Of course, I was sober then, thank God. And one of the resentments I held against my mother for many, many years is that she did not call me when my grandfather died. And I found out afterwards that he was asking about me when he was in the hospital. Of course, I was 1,000 miles away. I was up in D.C., Baltimore area, one of the geographical changes. And through this time, many, many people, you know, I hear a lot of people say that they would have a hard time drinking around family and all of that, still going to family functions, and to this day, that doesn't bother me, because I knew that when I drank a lot, I wouldn't drink around my family because I didn't drink like they did. Of course, they drink a lot, but so now when I go around and they're drinking or whatever, it doesn't bother me, and which is a good thing. And so there was so much judgment passed over those years. Everybody would tell me that I was an alcoholic, and essentially I knew that I was. And I used to make jokes why I drink 6-7 drinks to you or one and all of that. And I look back at that now, and I am a drunk, so. And I'm going to Let me see where I'm at. And so after I got sober, where I just couldn't take any more, was in 1995. And being the good old Irishman that I am, I had to go out and pull my last drunk on St. Patrick's Day. So my first sobriety date was March 18th, 1995. And I stayed sober for many, many years, 14 to be exact. I went back out July of 2009 after picking up 14 years. And this may not last too long. And after, I guess what got me back out is I thought that I was all right. I could go. I didn't have to go to meetings or anything like that. I wasn't sponsoring anybody. I wasn't doing the things that are suggested in the program. And it's called complacency. And there's a guy up on the wall out there. Y'all ever look at the picture named Bob Meadows? He was like a three-time president. And I can hear him just as clear as I can hear myself saying the word complacency. Don't allow yourself to go complacent. He used to say that all the time. And so, going back a little bit, something that I skipped. Back in the high school days of drinking and using, if by chance the good old liquor store down on the corner, Buddies, wouldn't allow you to go in, it was always the good old neighborhood bootlegger. That's here in this room right now. I've known him for about 40 years. And another person in here that I've known for many, many years, that they owned a little store at one time, and I used to go in and help him out at night and, of course, get free cigarettes and free beer. What a deal. And so going back to where I was, I just basically got very, very complacent. I stopped going to meetings. I wasn't working with other alcoholics. And I still had a lot of resentments that I didn't address. A lot of that was family. And a few other things that I won't go into. But today, I'm at ease. I did another fourth step, probably about 3 or 4 months ago. And I was just relieved of everything. And, you know, I still have bad days. Not every day is perfect. I don't expect it to be. But what gets me through each day is, each morning when I wake up, I thank God for another day. And let Him know that I'm in His will, not mine. And today I'm sponsoring people as well. I didn't do that before. I've got 3 sponsees here in this room now. And to look out and see them there, and, you know, just see everybody. I know each and every one of your friends, even though I don't know you. It's great. And I'm just going to skip over here. I mean, I didn't want to make it a long story or whatever. We can have a regular meeting afterwards if you want to, if anybody has anything. But the key to staying sober for me, and this may work for you as well, is number one, doing the steps. And to the newcomers, service work. Put your foot in the door. Do service work. When I first came in, you used to have empty ashtrays. I've cleaned bathrooms in AA clubhouses. If someone asks you to chair a meeting, say yes. If someone asks you to read something, say yes. That's service work. Help making coffee, do it. And call or talk to another alcoholic on a daily basis. That network of people is so important in sobriety. This last 2 years has been a nightmare. But I started sponsoring people and just getting a text or a call from them on a daily basis is just so encouraging. It's uplifting. If I was having a bad day or something like that, it's like, cool. Somebody's having a good day. And they're sober too, like me. That's even better. And then when you get to that point of your sobriety to where you can sponsor people, it's the greatest gift that an alcoholic can be given. Just as I just mentioned, that person calling you on a daily basis, saying, hey, how you doing? Are you calling them? How you doing? And knowing that they came from some of the same backgrounds that you did, whether it was family, friends, or whatever. And it's a blessing to have friends now, to, you know, look out on the room and see. A lot of you I've known for a long time, and a lot but I can't go much further here. I promised someone in the back there, Kenny, that I'd keep it the PG version, so. But at any rate, I'm done.